Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
He hadn't planned on getting back into theater. He had done a few productions in college and another community show not long after, but work and everything else eventually took over. By his mid-30s, acting was something he remembered fondly, but hadn't seriously considered returning to until a friend convinced him to audition for a local production. The theater itself was one of the reasons he agreed. It had been built in the 1920s and still looked the part, with a wide stage, a small balcony, and backstage corridors that seemed to have been added onto over the years rather than planned from the beginning. The dressing rooms were downstairs, costume storage occupied rooms that had probably served completely different purposes decades earlier. And the wings were crowded with ropes, curtains, props, and pieces of scenery. He knew every actor in the show fairly quickly. Community theater didn't work particularly well if you didn't know the people you were rehearsing with night after night. The backstage crew was different. There were stagehands, volunteers helping with props and costumes, people working lights and sound, and longtime theater members who seemed to appear whenever something needed fixing. Since he was new to the building, there were plenty of people working behind the scenes whose names he didn't know. Everyone who had been around the theater a while also seemed to know at least one story about the place. Nobody presented those stories very seriously. They came up while people painted scenery or waited for rehearsal to start, usually followed by someone else remembering something strange they had experienced years earlier. People talked about footsteps in the balcony after the building was empty. Dressing room doors opening on their own and humming heard somewhere backstage when nobody could find the source. He enjoyed the stories, but didn't put much thought into them. Old theaters were strange places, even without ghosts. Curtains moved when air shifted, scenery creaked, voices carried through unexpected parts of the building, and people were constantly disappearing through dark hallways and reappearing somewhere else. If there was ever a place designed to make someone question what they had seen out of the corner of their eye backstage at an old theater seemed like a good candidate. He was cast in a supporting role and quickly remembered how much he had missed performing. The first few weeks were mostly blocking and learning the rhythm of the production, and because he hadn't worked in that theater before, some of his attention went towards simply learning where everything was backstage. The first time he noticed the woman in the stage right wing, he assumed she was part of the crew. They were rehearsing a scene with several actors on stage, and he happened to glance toward the wing while someone else was speaking. A woman stood just beyond the edge of the stage light, far enough back that he couldn't see her face clearly. She appeared to be wearing a light-colored blouse and dark pants or a skirt, and her hair was pulled back. Nothing about her seemed unusual, so he figured she was waiting to move a prop, check something between scenes, or help with one of the upcoming transitions. He didn't know everyone working backstage yet, and there was no reason he should. A few nights later, he saw her again during the same scene. She was standing in almost exactly the same place, watching the stage. He remembered wondering what she was responsible for, because she never seemed to move toward any of the props or scenery. But rehearsal kept going, and he forgot about her almost immediately. The third sighting made him curious. By then, he had become more familiar with the regular crew. He knew the stage manager, recognized the people helping with props, and had at least spoken to most of the volunteers who spent rehearsals backstage, but the woman still wasn't anyone he recognized. During a break, he asked one of the stagehands who usually worked on the right side of the stage about her. He described a woman with her hair pulled back who sometimes stood near the wing during rehearsals, but the stagehand didn't know who he meant. He assumed his description was too vague and let it go. People came and went from community theaters all the time, and someone could easily have been helping temporarily, stopping in from another production or working on something unrelated to their show. Then he saw her a fourth time, and once again, it happened during the same scene. A work light backstage was brighter than usual that night, giving him his clearest look at her yet. The light blouse was exactly as he remembered, along with the dark clothing and pulled back hair. She stood several feet behind the curtain line, watching the stage without speaking to anyone. What struck him this time was how still she was. The real crew never stood that way for long. Even when they were waiting for a cue, they checked props, adjusted headsets, whispered to the stage manager, or shifted out of someone's path. Backstage was too busy for anyone to simply remain in one place doing absolutely nothing. She didn't appear to be waiting for a cue at all. She seemed to be watching the performance. When the scene ended, he exited stage, right specifically intending to introduce himself and finally find out who she was. He came through the wing only seconds after seeing her, but the space was empty. He looked behind the curtain and then down the narrow corridor toward the backstage stairs, yet there was nobody walking away, and no nearby doorway she could have slipped through without crossing in front of him. That was strange enough that he finally asked the stage manager. This time he described the woman more carefully and pointed out exactly where she had been standing. The stage manager listened for a few seconds before asking whether he was sure she had been wearing a light-colored top. When he said he was, her expression changed. Apparently, people had been seeing a woman in the stage right wing for years. There wasn't an elaborate story attached to her, and nobody knew who she was. Different people had described her somewhat differently over the years, but enough of the details were similar that longtime volunteers knew exactly who someone meant when they mentioned the woman standing just beyond the curtain. She was usually mistaken for a stagehand or volunteer at first, which made perfect sense to him. Backstage was exactly where a crew member should be standing, and nothing about her appearance immediately suggested anything paranormal. The stage manager told him she had never heard of the woman frightening anyone or causing problems. Most people saw her once, occasionally twice, and then never again. She simply appeared to stand there as though she belonged backstage. When he admitted that he had already seen her four times, the stage manager paused and asked whether the sightings seemed random or whether they happened during a particular part of rehearsal. He hadn't thought about that until she asked, but once he did, the answer was obvious. Every time he had seen the woman, they had been working the same scene. The stage manager looked toward the wing for a moment and admitted that was something she hadn't heard before. Until then, he had assumed the woman was simply appearing backstage the way other people had described over the years. Now he began to wonder if there was a reason she kept showing up at exactly the same point in the show. Maybe she wasn't just watching the production. Maybe she was waiting for that scene. Once he realized the woman only appeared during that particular scene, he became much more aware of stage right. For the next few rehearsals, though, he deliberately tried not to look for her. He knew how easily expectation could influence what someone thought they saw, especially in a theater where the edges of the stage were always full of shadows and movement. For several nights, nothing happened. Then, during a run-through of a completely different scene, he came off stage and heard a quiet female voice just behind him say his character's name. He turned immediately, assuming one of the stagehands was trying to get his attention, but the space behind him was empty. The nearest crew member was farther down the corridor checking props, and when he asked whether anyone had called to him, nobody knew what he was talking about. That bothered him more than the sightings had. Seeing a woman in the wing could still be explained by poor lighting or someone he hadn't recognized. Hearing his character's name spoken directly behind him was harder to dismiss, especially because nobody backstage normally addressed him that way outside the scene itself. He mentioned it to the stage manager, who admitted that people had reported voices in the theater before, although she had never heard of anyone being called by a character name. She also reminded him that old buildings carried sound strangely, and he appreciated that she wasn't trying to turn everything he experienced into another ghost story. A few nights later, the woman appeared again during the familiar second act scene. She stood in her usual place, just beyond the curtain, wearing the same light blouse and dark clothing, while two stagehands worked only a few feet away from her. Neither reacted. One of them passed directly in front of where she stood without ever looking toward her. When the scene ended, he came off stage right and found only the two crew members there. Both insisted nobody else had been standing in the wing. By then, opening night was less than a week away, and technical rehearsals made backstage much more organized. Everyone had assigned positions, scenery moved on specific cues, and the crew dressed mostly in black so they could work without being noticed from the house. For several nights, he didn't see the woman at all. That reassured him enough that he started wondering whether the earlier sightings had simply belonged to the more chaotic rehearsal period when volunteers and crew members moved around freely and the backstage lighting was inconsistent. Opening night arrived, and once the show began, he mostly forgot about her. The theater was full enough to give the cast extra energy, and backstage was busy with costumes, headset chatter, and people waiting quietly for entrances. Then they reached the scene where he had always seen her. He looked toward stage right and immediately saw her standing in the same place. This time, there was no possibility of mistaking her for one of the stagehands. Everyone working backstage was dressed in dark clothing, while the woman wore the same light blouse he remembered from rehearsals. She was also standing in an area that should have been clear for an upcoming scene change. He nearly lost his place in the dialogue, but the actor opposite him gave him a quick look, and he recovered. As the scene continued, his attention kept drifting toward the wing. The woman never moved, even when a stagehand crossed directly in front of her without reacting. When the lighting shifted near the end of the scene, the wing darkened and he lost sight of her. The moment he came backstage, he asked the crew member whether anyone else had been standing there. Nobody had. During intermission, he quietly told the stage manager what happened. She asked whether it had been during the same scene, and when he said yes, she simply told him to finish the performance and try not to let it distract him. The next two shows were completely normal, and by the following weekend, he had started to wonder whether opening night had been the last time he would see her. Then came Saturday night. The theater was nearly full, and the performance had been strong from the beginning. By the time they reached the familiar second act scene, he was relaxed enough that he wasn't thinking about the woman at all. That was why he noticed immediately when she appeared. She was standing in the stage right wing again, but this time she was closer to the curtain line than she had ever been before. At first, he thought the stronger stage lighting simply made her easier to see, but as the scene continued, he realized she had moved forward. A few lines later, he looked again. He hadn't seen her take a step, but part of her was now illuminated by the stage lights. He forced himself to keep performing, even as it became clear that she had crossed the line between backstage and the performance space. So the woman was standing partly on stage, and this time hundreds of people were looking in her direction. And for the rest of the scene, he kept expecting someone else to react. The woman was far enough onto the stage that, from his position, there was no question. She should have been visible. He watched for some change in the audience, a whisper, a few heads turning, anything that suggested people had noticed someone standing where no one belonged. Instead, the room remained focused on the performance, and the other actors continued as though nothing had changed. He forced himself to do the same. A lighting cue eventually darkened the edge of stage right for only a moment, and when the light came back up, the woman was gone. He finished the scene and exited through the same wing where she had been standing, but there was no sign of her. The crew members stationed there were already preparing for the next change, and when he quietly asked whether anyone had stepped onto the stage during the scene, both looked confused. They had been watching the area the entire time and hadn't seen anyone. There was no chance to talk about it further until the performance ended. He got through the rest of the show, took his bow, and waited until the audience was gone before finding the stage manager. She knew something had happened before he said much. He told her the woman had moved beyond the wing and into the stage light, then asked whether anyone else had ever reported that. The stage manager hesitated before answering. Most sightings involved the woman standing backstage exactly where he had been seeing her. Over the years, though, there had been a handful of stories from actors who claimed she eventually moved onto the stage during a performance. It wasn't something everyone who saw her experienced, and nobody knew what it meant. He asked whether the audience ever noticed, but as far as she knew, they didn't. There had been hundreds of people facing the stage, yet apparently he had been the only person watching a woman stand in plain sight. The stage manager also made it clear that there was no neat explanation for who the woman might have been. Nobody had a story about an actress dying backstage. No old photograph matched the description. And there wasn't some legendary performer everyone agreed had never wanted to leave the theater. The building had been used for performances for generations, and countless actors, volunteers, and employees had passed through it. Whatever history belonged to the woman had been lost, assuming anyone had ever known it in the first place. He actually found that more believable than a perfectly packaged ghost story. By then, he didn't need someone to tell him who she was or why she appeared. He had seen her often enough to know that something unusual had happened, and attaching a convenient tragedy to it wouldn't make the experience any more convincing. The stage manager did tell him one thing he hadn't heard before. In the few stories she knew involving the woman stepping onto the stage, the actor who saw her generally stopped seeing her afterward. That turned out to be true for him. The remaining performances passed without another sighting. At first, he found himself checking stage right every time the second act scene began, but eventually he stopped. The woman didn't return, and he never again heard his character's name whispered behind him. By closing night, he had almost gotten used to the idea that whatever had been happening was over. What surprised him was that the experience didn't drive him away from the theater. He stayed involved after the production ended, helped with sets, and eventually auditioned for another show. Over time, he became familiar enough with the building to know which backstage doors never stayed completely shut, where voices carried strangely, and which floorboards could sound like footsteps if someone crossed the hall above them. He became less likely, not more, to assume every unexplained noise was paranormal. But he never found an explanation for the woman. A couple of years later, he returned to the theater to see a production he wasn't involved with. For once, he was simply part of the audience sitting several rows back. Then, sometime during the second act, he noticed someone standing stage right. He recognized her immediately. The light blouse, the dark clothing, the hair pulled back. She stood just beyond the curtain in almost exactly the place where he had seen her so many times during his own rehearsals. For a moment, he wondered whether she had somehow appeared to him again. Then he realized she wasn't looking at him. She was watching one of the actors. The actor was in the middle of a scene when his eyes shifted briefly toward stage right. He hesitated. Over a line he had probably delivered perfectly dozens of times, then recovered so quickly that most of the audience likely never noticed. The man sitting several rows back did. He watched the rest of the scene differently after that. The woman remained near the edge of the darkness, motionless and focused on the actor. She never looked toward the audience and never seemed aware that someone who had seen her before was watching from the other side of the footlights. By the end of the scene, she was gone. He considered going backstage afterward. He knew enough people at the theater that nobody would have questioned it. And for a few minutes, he thought about finding the actor and asking whether he had seen someone standing in the wing. He decided not to. There was nothing useful he could tell him. He didn't know who the woman was, why some actors could see her, or why she sometimes moved closer as a production continued. All he could offer was the same story he had once been given, and he remembered how little comfort that had provided. So he went home. What stayed with him was the realization that the experience had never really been about him. The woman hadn't disappeared from the theater when his production ended. She had simply stopped appearing to him. Now someone else could see her. And as he left the theater that night, he found himself wondering how many actors over the decades had looked into that same wing and seen her waiting there, watching quietly through rehearsal after rehearsal and performance after performance. Maybe most of them only saw her once. And every once in a while, perhaps when she had been waiting long enough, she stepped out of the darkness and into the light.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.